This morning I'm going to look at various passages. The title of the message is My Hope is Jesus. My Hope is Jesus. You know, we face uncertain days ahead. Our world and our nation are changing at an alarming pace, even without the coronavirus. You know, things are just, seem crazy, even without something like this going on. And it's a little unnerving what the threat of a virus can do in such a short time to our nation, I'm saying. I'm not saying to each individual here, but to our nation and to the world as well. It's a little unnerving. I'm not even speaking from a health standpoint. I'm no doctor and have no training to speak about the real risks of the virus. I don't know what those real risks are, and I don't know if even all the experts know what the real risks are. We can only assume that it does pose a real threat to some in our nation and to some in our congregation even. We can only assume that there is some amount of threat there. It's a little concerning also how fast the government can shut down everything in just a short period of time. I mean, you think about everything that has been closed down, including churches. I drove around some yesterday and drove past churches, and many of them are just completely closed. They just closed their doors completely. I didn't think that that was the complete answer, to just stop and have no hope in God. I know some churches are going with their whole schedule. I don't think we should judge either way. I mean, you know, it's up to each individual, each church, to make their own decisions. A lot of times in decisions going forward, I kind of like to try and be in the middle somewhere. You know, if you're out on the edge, either way, sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, you don't want to be the first to jump in, but maybe you don't want to be the last to jump in either. So if the ship is sinking, maybe the first person jumping in, maybe they're a little too hasty, and maybe the last person waits a little too long. So just trying to think through things and do things from a more moderate idea. You know, fear can cause people to do crazy things, like toilet paper, you know, hoarding toilet paper. My wife and I stopped by Meijer to get some necessities, you know, the little cart necessities, not the huge cart necessities. You know, we took the little cart. And it wasn't long to realize that Meijer was a madhouse, that there was crazy in there. One lady had a shopping cart just piled high with TP. I mean, just as much as she could get in there, she had full of TP. We had two little, you know, things. It's like, are we missing something here? You know? We still brave the crowds, though, to get our necessities. You know what I'm speaking of, necessities. Ice cream. Because it was on sale, number one. And number two, you don't want to risk being quarantined for 14 days without ice cream. I mean, we need it. I said, honey, what happens if we get quarantined and we don't have enough ice cream? And we bought ice cream. You know, I don't want to be quarantined without ice cream. That's a necessity of life if you're in my family. You know, in my experience, I've talked with a lot of people in the last few days. As I've walked in the store, I've tried to talk to people. I just want to know what people are thinking. There was a lady getting milk, and I walked up to her, and she had on the nurse's type uniform. You know, I was like, are things getting a little crazy? She agreed. Things are a little crazy out there. Her sense was that people were overreacting. And I just talked to different people throughout the day, and most people thought, things seem to be going a little crazy. I think people are overreacting. One guy I talked to, he said, well, my wife's in healthcare, and she's a little freaked out. He says, but I'm not. So, you know, there's different reactions from people when you get in these situations. And we need to be careful to be kind to others who think differently than we do. If somebody is freaking out a little bit, we need to be kind and loving and patient with those people as well, you know. Not everybody sees things the same way. I think part of it is we need to have a genuine concern for those who are vulnerable. We need to have a genuine concern for those who are vulnerable. I talked to Rita yesterday and was talking to her, and her cough is really bad right now. If you want to think about it, pray for Rita. Her, you know, she's getting congested again, and that seems to put her in the hospital. And so I think Rita is somebody who is vulnerable right now. You know, she's already has the, and I told her, just stay home. She says, I decided that, but I said, you know, stay home, Rita. Don't come out. And that's what I told some of our other senior citizens who are more vulnerable. I just said, you know, I think it'd be best, just stay home today. It's not, God's, we're not going to judge you if you decide you don't want to come out. You know, that's what we need to be as Christians. We need to be concerned about the health of our senior citizens, especially those who are weaker right now. I can understand why some in the world are full of fear. I can understand that. The majority of people in the world have only this life. And so for them to die, that's for them, that's the end as far as they can see. And I can see why the virus brings fear to them. As Christians, we should have a different outlook. The times may be changing, but for the believer, the future is still bright. For the believer, the future is still bright. The world's gone through many things like the coronavirus, and even worse in the past. You've heard of flus and different things, plagues going through the world in the past, and millions of people died. So it's not, this isn't anything new to, it's new to our modern mindset. Because we haven't had to go through some of the things that people have gone through in the past where millions and millions of people died because of plagues and flus and things. So we need to remember as Christians that we are not to fear. Don't turn there, but 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God hasn't given us a spirit of fear as believers. We don't have to fear because we have a hope different than the world has. We have a hope different. And even if we do get the coronavirus, and even if I get the coronavirus and I pass away, don't be sad for me. Because I'm like, sorry, hon, but I won the race before you, and I get to go home. So I feel sad for her, maybe. She's got to go out and get a job or something, more of a job. But other than that, as believers, we need to learn to hope in God. And we need to continue to remember that in times like this. Today, we're going to look at some reasons to hope in God. Let's look at Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. We're going to move around here, so don't get stuck there. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Our hope is in God because God's word is a rock, and everything else is sinking sand. Our hope needs to be based upon the word of God. We hope in Jesus. He is the living word of God. The verse says that we are to build our house upon a rock. That means a sure foundation. We are to build our lives upon a sure foundation. And that sure foundation that we build upon is the Word of God. All the people that are building in these verses are religious people. We don't have time to go into the context, but they're all religious people, and they're all building their foundation upon something. who are building on a sure foundation, they, verse 26 says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. We need to be hearing them and doing them. Actually, that's the foolish guy. The verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. So building our, sorry, I got that mixed up for there for a second, but those who hear and do it are those ones who are building their house upon a sure foundation. Many people build their lives on sinking sand. It says there, they built their house upon sand. You don't talk to, if you talk to Jeff, he's not going to say, oh yeah, let's, you know, oh that sand, it's so easy to smooth out, and it's so, oh yeah, let's just start building because we can make it smooth. But anybody who knows anything knows that if you build on that sand in just a short time, you could have a beautiful looking house. But as the storms come, that's going to be taken away. That's going to be gone. Someone brought this out as a joke on social media a while back. I thought it was appropriate for today. When I was a kid, sinking sand seemed like it was going to be a real problem. Think about that. When you were a kid, did sinking sand seem like it was going to be a real problem? When, at least in my era, when I watched some of the old movies and stuff, people were always falling into sinking sand. I mean, it was just like sinking sand would look, oh, that's going to be a real problem in life if, because everybody's always falling in sinking sand. Lo and behold, we don't have much sinking sand here in the United States, but we do spiritually. Spiritually, sinking sand is a problem. And there are people spiritually that are building their foundation upon sinking sand. They go around without building a sure foundation. They're not building it upon the Word of God. The only way to make sure our path has a sure footing is to pave it with the Word of God. That's how we're going to have a sure footing. We need to start with the Word of God. We take our beliefs on the Word of God, because it says here, the storms come to both houses. Storms come to both houses. Psalm 91 basically said that there are going to be pestilences and plagues, even for the righteous. And the coronavirus, it's going to come to believers and unbelievers if it comes to that. But where are we building our foundation upon? What's going to help us stand when the storms of life come? It's if we build our foundation upon the Word of God. Our thinking, what we do, we need to base it upon the Word of God. We also have a hope in God, because hope in Christ is our anchor. Hebrews 6:19 says this, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into within the veil, that which within the veil. So, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Let's look at Acts 27. Turn with me to Acts 27. And I think we all know the story where Paul is in a ship, and he told the ship master, don't set sail. We better off just to stay here. It's not going to be good if we go on. But the ship master wanted to get to some better place to keep his ship for the winter, and so he set sail. And there's a great storm that comes up. And verse 18 says, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day we lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. They had lost hope that they would be saved from the storm. The people on the ship were like, we have no hope. We have no hope of being saved. Their thought was, we're going to perish in here, in this. But notice there was something that they did not cast out, which was heavy. There was something that they kept in the ship, even though it was heavy. They cast everything else out, but there was something they kept. Verse 27. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. Now for you young people, maybe not have heard, when they sounded, they had a rope with a weight, and they'd throw it overboard, and maybe knots in it, or however they marked it, and they would measure how deep it was with this weight they'd throw out of the ship. They didn't have depth finders. So it's this deep. And then they'd throw out again, it's not as deep. Okay, we are getting close to land now. So that's what they're doing when they were sounding. Verse 28 again, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Cast four anchors out. They got rid of all the other weight in the ship, but they kept their anchors. Why is that? Because their anchors were their hope of being saved if they came close to land. They knew that without the anchors, they could crash. The song says, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. We have hope because we have the right anchor. Our anchor that keeps us in the storms of life is our hope in God. The anchor is hope. We trust in God. That's where Hebrews 6:19, we which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, that hope is anchored in Jesus Christ. The anchor is hope. Hope is in the one, He is the one we hope in, God. Let me ask you, where's your hope today? Many place their hope in many different things, in money, in other people. And it can be easy in the storm, when the storms rage, to place our hope in the wrong places. The storm's raging about us, and we're throwing our anchor to the wrong thing, the wrong security. You know, we may take human steps to shore up the ship. That's what they were doing. When they were throwing over the cargo, they were doing all humanly possible to shore up the ship, to keep the ship from sinking. And sometimes in our trials of life, there are things we can do humanly. There are things that we can do to shore up the ship, you might say. If you know there's a run on toilet paper and you know you're almost out, maybe you should go buy some, even though everybody else is, you might not go crazy like everybody else, but you might want to make sure you're prepared. There are human things we can do. You might want to make sure you have a few staples in the house, just in case. There's things humanly that we can do to be prepared. We might cut back on services. We might use more hand sanitizer. There's nothing wrong with doing some of those things to make sure the ship stays afloat. But there's one thing we don't do. They didn't throw out their anchor. They didn't throw out their anchor. You don't throw out your hope in God in the midst of the storm. And so that's what some people do. They start going crazy and they throw out their hope in God. So in the midst of the storm, make sure you keep your anchor. Keep it in Christ. Because why do we hope in Christ? Let's look at Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1, verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Who's this talking about? Jesus. You know, our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in him. Our anchor is in him because he is the ruler of the universe. He is the one in control. He is the one that is upholding all things by the word of his power. He is the one that's in control. We have hope in Jesus because he is the ruler of the universe. He holds all things together. He is the one who is in control of all things, and we are his children. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says this, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We have hope in Christ because of who he is. The one who created us is the same one who loves us and died for us. He has proved his love and he has proved his power in creation. He has proved his power in his resurrection. When the world seems to be out of control, we need to see that Jesus is still in control. He is in control. And we need to remember that he is working all things together for our good and his glory. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know that all things are working together for good, even when there's a virus. We may not be able to understand his plan, yet we must have faith that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think back to the Louisiana, no, I can't think of it, the hurricane, Katrina. I think back to, you know, many people thought, well, that's judgment of God on a wicked city. But how many churches that were worshiping God were just wiped out? You know, you have to have faith during those times knowing that God is in control. Because it rains on the good and the bad. Coronavirus happens to both Christians and non-Christians alike. And we have to realize that no matter what happens, he is working all things out for our good and his glory. We can't understand his master plan, yet we must have faith that he is, again, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 1 Timothy 6:15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we must have hope in God because he is in control of all things. He is the ruler of the universe. We also have faith in God because Christ saved us. Very familiar verse. I'm just going to read it. We can have hope in God because of our salvation. The song says this, we have heard the joyful sound, what? Jesus saves, Jesus saves. John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but what? That the world through him might be saved. We can have faith in him because he is our Savior. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Jesus saved us out of a life of sin. Jesus saved us from the wrath of God. He saved us from eternity in hell. He saved us from our own foolish way. One time I was playing around at trying to write poems, so you have to, this is my poem, so if you think, oh, that's not a professional poem, it's because I wrote it. And this is probably the only poem I think maybe in school they made me try and write poetry. Anybody ever remember in school them trying to force you to write poetry? You know, I never did a very good job at it in school. But this is my attempt at poetry. So forgive me if you think it's, if you're an English teacher out there or something, or okay, you know where it came from. Once self was our driving force. Once wrath was our final state. Once sin was our wayward course. Once Satan was master and barred the gate. Now all for Jesus is our call each day. Now Jesus has taken our wrath. Now Jesus has become our way. Now Jesus has spoken on our behalf. For the Christian, salvation is a reason for hope. If you're not saved today, call upon Jesus Christ and he will save you. Acts 2:21, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We also have hope in Jesus because he will keep me. Because he will keep me. Our salvation is secure. It's not based upon our performance. It's not based upon viruses and how we react to those things. It's not based upon our goodness. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is Bible drill day. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, many trials that come into your life. And it just seems like in life sometimes one trial is over and another begins, another thing to cause worry. But Peter says that part of the reason that you can get through those times is because of our security in Christ. We can have hope because our salvation is secure. Notice in verse 4 about our inheritance, what does it say about our inheritance? It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for, and each one of you can like do this, for me. For the person who's trusted Christ as our Savior, you can do this if you want to, too. You can poke yourself right in the eye and say, it's for me. So it's reserved in heaven for me. What an exciting thing. You know what? Let the world rage. Because I have salvation. I have something to look forward to. If you're a Christian, you have a bright future. You have a bright future. Things will be better. It will be worth it all someday. No matter what you have to go through. And folks, so far, we don't go through anything like so many people in our world go through today. The things that we are facing in our country looks at as like a major thing. These things happen daily in some countries across Africa. Daily there are people killed. Daily there's sickness and there's pestilence and there's all these things going on. They have to deal with it on a daily basis. So we're not dealing with things that other Christians don't deal with every day. Verse 5 is a real clincher. By whose power are we kept? In verse 5. We are kept by the power of God. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. By God's power. The word kept in the Greek means to guard or to protect by a military guard. And we are guarded by the power of God. He is the guard. He is the one that's keeping us. The Greek word for power is the word we get our English word dynamite from. Just think of that, Christian. Your salvation, your future home, and your place in heaven is guarded by God. God is the one guarding you. And He guards you with His power. Who else would you want you to keep you secure than God and His power? Jesus told us in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. We know that Jesus has all power to keep us. Verse 6 says that because of that we should greatly rejoice, even in the midst of great trials. Greatly rejoice because we know that the future is secure. Our hope is in Jesus, and it is secure. And because of Christ's unchanging grace. We can have hope because of Christ's unchanging grace. He's not fickle. He doesn't change like we do. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, which with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We sing the song, do we have the song Yesterday, Today, Forever, Jesus is the Same in our hymn book? I love that song. Yes, I'm not going to sing it. Yesterday, Today, Forever. I wanted to, but then it would sound bad and then you might be turned off. So, Yesterday, Today, Forever, Jesus is the Same. All may change, but what? Jesus never. Glory to His name. I love that. All may change. My wife may change her hairstyle, but Jesus doesn't ever change. Jesus never changes. Malachi 3 says this, for I am the Lord, I change not. John 1:16, and of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. God's unchanging grace does not change. In John 1:16, I know I've said this before, but you just picture that as grace taking the place of grace. And it's not really, it's not like we're eating to the bottom of the ice cream bowl and there's no more ice cream there and we got to go get more. It's like eating that, it's like the widow and the food, I forget what, oil and flour. You know, and until God was done, that just kept coming. But you know what? God's grace for the believer, it just doesn't stop. Grace for grace. As the waves in the sea roll in, each wave comes, and then there's another one right behind it on a windy day. God's grace is always there for every situation that we will face. God's grace, it's always there. He does not change. Just think of how gracious our God is. Remember, I don't have time to go there, but remember in Jonah 3, where and into chapter 4, where Jonah, why does Jonah not want to go to the city of Nineveh to preach to them? He said, because you're so gracious and kind and long-suffering, you'll forgive those wicked people. He didn't want to go because he knew how gracious God was, even with those wicked people. We sing, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than what? All our sin. All our sin. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God's grace is always available for us. We need to have hope in God because His grace is always there for us. No matter what the situation we face, His grace is there and available. And then also because we need to have hope in Christ because of Christ's imminent return. Because of Christ's imminent return. The song says, What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Christ is coming again. We know that. Like I said, there is a brighter future for the believer. All Christians should be encouraged and looking forward to the fact that he is coming again. We are to pray in Matthew 6:10, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We need to be praying, "God, I want your kingdom to come. I'm looking forward to your return." Revelation 22:20, "He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly." Let's turn to one last passage, 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 16 tells about the Lord's return. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." See, in times when life is uncertain, one of the ways that we comfort each other is that Jesus is returning. He is coming back one day. And for those who are alive and remain, we'll be caught up together. But for those who have passed on, we get to go first. Our body will be resurrected first. Titus 2:13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 58, I'll just read it. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord." So let me ask the question again, where is your hope today? Is your hope in Jesus? Jesus is our rock. He is our hope. He's our creator. He's in control of all things. He will keep us till the end. Is your hope in Christ as your Savior, or are you today on sinking sand? Where are you building your foundation? Is it on the Word of God, or is it on sinking sand? Are you living in doubt and fear for some reason? And it might, you know, you might say, "Oh, this coronavirus doesn't bother me." But is there some other area where you have fear, where you have doubt? You might be fine with this. There might be other things, though, in your life that you just, you know, those things bring fear to me. Those things bring doubt. Where's your hope? Psalm 43:5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Psalm 146:5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Again, where is your hope today? Hopefully it's placed firmly in Jesus Christ. If you have not been, if there's been things, and like say, it might not be this, but there's other things that you just, those things have been a worry to me. Those things have caused me to fear. just want you to realize that our hope is in Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the fact that your word teaches us, your word, your sure foundation teaches us the truth about our hope. And Lord, I pray that during the storms of life, we wouldn't throw out our hope. That if there's one thing that we do in trying to keep our ship afloat, it's that we don't throw out our hope in Christ. That we don't come to the point where we give in to the fears of life. Lord, you are in control. We acknowledge that. Lord, we do some things to try and be wise in this world, but realize also that you are in control and we can trust you. And Lord, whatever comes, whatever happens, we know that you're working all things together for your good and glory, and that we can be happy in that. We can trust you in that. Lord, even if the storms affect us, even if at times there are shipwreck. Paul went through shipwreck and all different types of things, but he kept his hope firmly planted in you. And so, Lord, help us to cast our hope on you, cast our cares upon you, because we know you care for us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.